junior in high school, and he just surprised everybody. And, I mean, he's one tough kid.
A 17-year-old clocks the fastest time at last weekend's Buckwheat Ski Classic. And Democrats elect party officers for House District 5. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more coming up. The state of Alaska is suing the contractor that built the fast ferries Fairweather and Chiniga. Since the Fairweather was deployed in 2005, the ship has been plagued with engine problems that often take it out of service for long periods of time. To some extent, the Chiniga has had similar engine problems. The ships were manufactured by Director Shipyards of Bridgeport, Connecticut. The state's been negotiating with director and engine manufacturers for some time. The Department of Law filed the lawsuit Friday to beat statute of limitations deadlines, according to Department of Transportation spokesman Roger Weatherall.
We are up against the statute of limitations, which expires at the end of this month. And so we want to be able to put that on the books. That makes it very clearly stated that we are seeking resolution.
The Fairweather required a massive overhaul within the first 2 years of its deployment.
All four of those engines had hairline cracks in their steel sleeves. And there were also additional problems with the bowl gears and the shafts and the bearings, and, you know, and that just delayed a lot of the service that we had promised people traveling on the ferries. People like the fast ferries. They're convenient. They're quick. They give riders a good scenic view of coastal southeast Alaska and the Chiniga as well for Prince William Sound. We want to get a resolution with the companies that will allow Alaskans to enjoy the fast ferries that we brought into the state.
Weatherall says the ship's engines have only about 10,000 hours on them, and the marine highway system was guaranteed 100,000 hours before major maintenance. And he says some engine problems actually fixed by the manufacturer have grown worse. The suit is against Robert E. Director Incorporated, which designed and constructed the ferries. The suit also names the companies that built the vessel's propulsion systems, German manufacturers MTU Friedrichshafen and GmbH and MTU Detroit Diesel Incorporated. Attorney General Dan Sullivan says the state received a faulty product and Alaskans should be appropriately compensated. Though the lawsuit has been filed, the state will continue to negotiate with the companies. Alaska House District 5's Democratic Party met in Haines last week, reviving elections for party officers. Deborah Vogt spoke for the group. She's the new chair of the district party.
At least since I've been around, it's the first time that we've had a district-wide officer elected. The first caucus was 2 years ago, and we didn't elect officers. We just expressed preference for presidential candidates.
The district-wide meeting followed an area precinct meeting at the Haines Library on Wednesday, where voters re-elected the chair and elected a new vice chair.
But first of all, we had just the Haines precinct meeting and elected Barbara Lewis, our chair, and Tim June, the vice chair. And we sort of assumed that those folks could take care of all the duties of the various officers and didn't elect other officers to either at the precinct level or the district level.
Every 2 years, the party holds caucuses for statewide primaries. The first one in Haines was in 2008, preceding the presidential election.
And that was a very well-attended kind of raucous event, and we didn't really elect officers. People went to the statewide convention after that, and Kathleen Menke was at the convention last year, was appointed, I guess it's vice chair for the Southeast region. And she did the lion's share of the work in organizing this caucus. She contacted the various communities and got the word out and made the poster and so on. I mean, she's really to be thanked for pitching in here and getting this movement off the ground.
The district-wide meeting brought together 35 participants live and by phone from Haines, Skagway, Cordova, Hoonah, and Gustavus. 20-year-old Brooke Jasky Zoobs of Skagway is the new vice chair for the District 5 Democratic Party.
Described herself as interested in getting involved in the governmental scene over in Skagway, and we're delighted to have her on at the district level. To it would be great to encourage more folks her age to join in, because Haines has an aging population and District 5 has an aging. Not a lot of young kids at the caucus meeting.
Vogt says besides local elections, the party celebrated recent wins by the Democratic Party at the national level.
We did have a celebration about health care reform. We had some cake to celebrate the national event, which was, you know, sort of uplifting. But we didn't talk about specific issues at a local level, and I think we will probably in Sitka. So it was a quick meeting, and I was gratified that we had such good attendance, and I thought it was a lot of people that expressed an interest in maintaining an interest in the Democratic Party and moving forward.
16 delegates from the 5 communities were appointed to travel to the Alaska State Democratic Convention in Sitka in early May. 4 alternates are also expected to attend. The 24th annual Buckwheat Ski Classic brought more than 300 skiers to Skagway last weekend, including many world-class athletes. The crowd maxed out the town's available beds and, says Buckwheat Donahue, made it another party worth coming back for.
I mean, last year we had a really good party, too. This year we had a good party. Every year is a good party, right? It doesn't matter if you have 90 or 300 people around, right? You know, it's called, let's get down, baby.
Buckwheat says the number is no record, but it is the first time since 1992 that registration has surpassed 300. He says the recent low numbers were because of a limited number of rooms in Skagway and competition further north.
We used to get 340 to 370 people many moons ago when Wind Valley Lodge was not housing for jewelry store people, and when the Golden North was open, we used to have 50 more hotel rooms available. And then also Mount Zima opened up in Whitehorse, a downhill ski area, and we went from 340 one year down to 90 the next year because of competing with chairlifts. And so we've been slowly recovering each year since.
This year's winner of the 50K men's race is only 17 years old. Newt Johnsgaard of Whitehorse finished second last year and came back in 2010 to finish in just under 3 hours. And he had to beat the race favorite and world-class competitors to do it.
Yeah, that was incredible. He even beat Chip Lindy, right? Which is always a surprise because Chip is always pre-race favorite. But Newt, he beat Graham Nishikawa. He's a World Cup competitor. He was just racing in the World Cup events in Halle, Sweden, and then some huge Birkebeiner in Germany the previous 2 weekends, and we really did think that he was going to win. And then he also beat this guy named John Perry, who skis for the University of Alaska Fairbanks, but he's actually from Whitehorse. And John Perry just recently competed in Steamboat Springs for the NCAA championships, and so he's a very strong competitor as well. And Knut is a senior in high school, and he just surprised everybody. And I mean, he's one tough kid.
The winner of the women's 50K race was Madeline Williams of Canmore, Alberta. It's her third win in that race, and she won it by an impressive 10 minutes.
And I didn't know this until this year that she was a member of the Canadian Olympic team. She was in the pursuits and the 30K. She didn't win anything, but she was on the Canadian Olympic team. That's pretty good. And then in the 25K, there was a woman from Whitehorse, very young, she's only 16, named Daria Beatty, and she took a gold, a silver, and a medal at Canadian Nationals last week in Whitehorse, in distant and in pursuit and in team sprint. And so, yeah, we had some elite skiers.
Racer Bill Perry may not be remembered for his 9th place finish in the men's 50K, but he still goes down in race history, says Buckwheat.
A guy that was in the 50K from Whitehorse that went through the aid station and smelled cheeseburgers, and the first time he went through, he said, "Hey, I smell cheeseburgers." And somebody said, "Yeah, you know, stop and have one." And then he skied around another 8-9 kilometers, and he came back to the same aid station. And even though he didn't want to stop, somebody asked him and said, "Hey, you want a cheeseburger?" And he goes, "Yeah." And they handed him one with a bite taken out of it. But that's what he needed to finish, right? All of a sudden, there was energy coursing through his veins, and he catapulted himself to a 9th place finish.
Buckwheat says they had plenty of food, which was a concern early on. enough food, in fact, to send the leftovers to the Juno Soup Kitchen. In past years, leftovers have gone to people around Skagway. Parks Canada and U.S. Parks also helped with the event, along with many volunteers. There were no local winners this year, but Buckwheat says that could change for next year's race, which would celebrate a quarter century of buckwheats.
It's been a long time since a Skagwegian has won any event. I think what I'm going to do next year is create a division for only people from Skagway and Haines are going to know about it. You know, we'll make it like an 8K or something like that. We won't tell anybody about it. We used to do this back in the beginning, the forming years of the ski race. Well, new thing, we're hoping to have fireworks next year, and hopefully we'll be a little bit more organized so we can find more housing for people to come down, because we'd like to have, 350, 400 people.
Full results for the 24th annual Buckwheat Ski Classic are at skagwaynews.com. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell. Thanks for listening.